Well, hello again. It's Monday, April 11th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 37. We had a good day yesterday. We were in Genesis 35, and we'll do some recap on that in just a moment. But as I look ahead to next Sunday, it's Easter, and I had a choice of either doing a genealogy on Easter or dipping into the New Testament for an Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday message. I have chosen the latter, so we will push pause on Genesis for 1 week, and I'm probably going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. I've not settled on exactly which verses I will preach from, but if you are interested in reading ahead with me and preparing your heart, read 1 Corinthians 15. There's a lot of really encouraging words there. A couple of announcements. Wednesday night will be children's choir. It's going to happen every Wednesday for the foreseeable future. If you are interested in being involved in that and want more details, please let Kate Rawls know. I'm going to go out on a limb. I believe it starts at 5. Maybe it starts at 6. I should probably figure that out. But it's going on Wednesday nights. April 24th, we're going to have a representative from the Gideons speaking in the morning service. That person, he will come and stand and tell us a testimony about them giving out Bibles, and then we'll have an opportunity to give toward the collection that he'll take up. And so if you're interested in giving to support the distribution of Bibles, then you will have an opportunity to do that. So bring your checkbook or some cash and be ready to give. April 24th is also going to be our Sunday evening service, and we'll start that at 5 p.m. May the 1st, we'll have a members meeting to announce the elder candidates, and then on May the 15th, we will have a members meeting to vote on those candidates. Okay, let's do a little bit of sermon recap. First of all, I don't know if you noticed, I didn't give any attention to this at all, other than that it was one of the deaths that happened. But maybe you asked the question, why is Deborah's death recorded? When you read chapter 35, verse 8, it's odd for two different reasons. It's odd for who is mentioned, and it is odd for who isn't mentioned. First, this verse mentions Deborah. Deborah who? We find out her name in the account of her death. The only time she has ever even been hinted at was when Rebecca left Bethuel's, that's her father, when she left his house to go and marry Isaac. Genesis 24:59 says, "So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men." Now that verse, 24:59, may or may not be talking about Deborah, but based on the language, it appears that this would be the same person. So it's odd that only here do we find out her name, and it's really odd that she's mentioned at all, because she has not, to this point, played an outsized role in the story, and since she's now dead, we don't really expect her to figure into it any further, even if her death caused many tears. And you can see that later in that verse when they name the place Alon Bakuth, which means oak of weeping. So it's clear that they were distraught over her death. So it's interesting because Deborah's mentioned, and it's also intriguing because of who isn't mentioned. Now, Rebecca's name is mentioned here, but she's more of the afterthought. Usually it's Rebecca and her nurse, and here it's the nurse died who's, or it's Deborah who is Rebecca's nurse. And so it's as if Deborah were actually the more important of the two. So when Rebecca's name is mentioned, it's mentioned in relation to Deborah. And in fact, Rebecca does not have a death and burial account in Genesis. Both Sarah, you can see that in Genesis 23, 1 through 20, and Abraham, chapter 25, verses 7 through 11, have a death and burial account. They have a death narrative. Rachel, Isaac, and Jacob will get something similar. But for Rebecca, the closest thing to that is the location of her burial mentioned in passing in chapter 49, verse 31. She's buried with Sarah and Abraham and Isaac. But it is her nurse who gets a recorded death and burial account. Why? Many people believe this is because of the way she conspired against and deceived her husband in order to serve the interests of Jacob over Esau. Like, she was still the matriarch positionally. She still remained Isaac's wife. And she was buried alongside them, but the honor of having a specific mention of your death and burial, the honor was stripped from her because of how dishonorably she tore apart the family to achieve what she wanted. It seems like that's what's going on here in giving an otherwise obscure Deborah a death and burial account almost instead of Rebecca. As I indicated, this is odd because Deborah's named and odd because Rebecca is missing. And it's almost like the author wants you to ask that question. Why not Rebecca? So now let's look at what Reuben is doing. I mentioned that I would talk about this just for a minute. Reuben seems to have committed an outrageous act based on our criteria from last week. There are two good explanations for what is happening in these verses. I prefer the second one over the first one, but like I said, they're both good, and I think that they satisfy the evidence well. One author argues that in the wake of Rachel's death, Reuben may have feared that Bilhah might be elevated to prominence as the favored wife because she was Rachel's servant instead of Leah. By defiling Bilhah in that way, Reuben was essentially taking one for the team, seeking to advantage Leah and her offspring in Jacob's eyes after he lost Rachel. So that's one option. Another option for what he was hoping to accomplish is usurping his father's place of leadership. And part of the reason that I believe this is so actually comes from a little bit later in the biblical narratives in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And so one of his sons, Absalom, decides that he wants to be king instead of David. And he actually succeeds in running David out of Jerusalem, and he enters to proclaim himself king. And then one of David's kind of counselors gives him the advice that he should violate David's concubines. And it's kind of implied that that would be a means of supplanting his father and his father's authority. Thus, this act was a declaration of that very thing. Absalom has broken with and even defied David's authority as his father and as his king, and Absalom intends to rule in his place even while his father lives. I tend to think something like that is what is happening with Reuben. Now, of course, we aren't told his motives, and so we don't want to go too far in assuming them, but I do think it's valid to ask the question, why? Why would he do that? And I think it's likely that Leah's son, who's a brother to Dinah, he saw how his father failed in the tragedy there, and he may have been fed up with the obvious favoritism of Rachel's sons. And so he decided to declare himself patriarch in place of Jacob, even as Jacob was still living. In doing so, he actually ruined his opportunity of receiving the blessing and inheritance of the firstborn and soured the relationship between Jacob and Bilhah. So he accomplished nothing and only brought further turmoil, brokenness, and hurt upon himself and his families. As we close out the Lenten season and reflect on the meaning of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Resurrection Sunday, I pray that Genesis 35 and the New Testament further impress upon your heart that human sin and the consequence of death that follows in its wake are no hindrance to God's unfolding plan to redeem creation and bless all the nations. Let your heart thrill that you serve God Almighty, who has no rivals, knows no constraints, and experiences no hindrances. Have a great week. I love you, people.